know, here we are, on Sunday nights, we're going through the book of Philemon. And it's a small book, but loaded with some good stuff. Good practical stuff. It's Philemon 1. And tonight, we're going to pick up at verse number 16. And to get the context, we'll look at verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, meaning Onesimus, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Father, thank you for your word. Teach us, direct us, help us and guide us tonight, Father. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be seated. Okay, so we know what's going on. Onesimus, a bondservant to Philemon, has fled from Philemon. He ran away. But he ran to Paul, which is interesting. I mean, notice who he ran to. He was no doubt familiar with Paul. He was familiar with Paul. Probably coming in and spending time there before. Paul and Philemon, they know one another well. Had close connection. Onesimus runs away to Paul. And he gets converted. He gets saved. And he's a blessing to Paul. Helps him out. Encourages him. Ministers to him. Helps him, right? You know, Paul's bound, Onesimus ministers unto him. But Paul knows the best thing to do, the right thing to do, because Philemon has legal authority and right to Onesimus. So he's sending him back. And Onesimus is going back. He wants to go back. He's going back on his own. Paul's sending him. He's going. But he's going back now not just as a servant, but as a brother in the Lord. And Paul is sending a letter of introduction with him. All right? Trying to help kind of smooth anything in the past, because the Bible says that in the past, Onesimus was unprofitable to Philemon. He wasn't a very good servant, evidently. We don't know what kind of master that Philemon was, but Onesimus was not a profitable servant. But now he's coming back, not just as a servant, but as a brother in Christ. And so he's got the ability now to be profitable to Philemon like he's been profitable to Paul. And Paul is sending this letter of introduction, as it were, back with him. And so he says here in verse 16, he says, well, again, verse 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. So again, Paul's sending Onesimus back, not just as a servant, but more than that. He's sending him back as a beloved brother in the Lord. You know, Philemon is getting a double blessing. He's not only getting a now profitable servant back, he's also getting a brother in Christ. Y'all listen, sometimes we may have to temporarily lose something or someone in order that we might gain them better and forever. Seriously. But sometimes, there may be a situation where you need to lose someone or something temporarily that you may get them back in a better condition and get them back forever, as it were. We see examples of that in the Bible. Moses' parents lost him. Well, his mama and his daddy put him in that ark of bulrushes, but she got him back. She got him back to nurse him and got paid to do it. Okay, until he was weaned. And then when he came of age, he identified with God's people. Jacob lost Joseph for a while, but he got him back. And he got him back in a glorious manner, and he got him back in a manner to where Joseph was deliverer to the house of all Jacob's household and to nations, in fact. Abraham with Isaac. Isaac had to be willing to lose. Abraham had to be willing to lose Isaac. And at that last moment, the Lord intervened and he got him back, but he was willing to lose him. And so, you know, we see in the Bible different examples of this, of losing something, temporarily losing something, being willing to lose something in the will of God, and yet getting them back and more so. Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac. He got him back with a blessing, confirming blessing, I will bless thee. You know what I mean? I mean, just and with even more so. And there's got to be that willingness there. And sometimes it happens, brethren, that we may lose. Sometimes there's some things you won't understand. Why is this happening? Why? You can imagine. In fact, what did Jacob say? all these things are against me. Joseph is gone. Simeon's a captive. You want to take Benjamin away? All these things are against me. He didn't know Romans 8:28 yet. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And so those things weren't against him. All those things were for him, but he couldn't see it. Let me ask you something. You love God? Every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there will tell you they're saved. I want to ask you this. Do you love God? Because let me tell you something. You can't be saved and not love God. You can't be saved and not. You got saved because you loved him for loving you first. We love him because he first loved us, the Bible said. Do you love God? I know we all can love him better. God help us. But do you love God? As much as you can say and know and with a desire to love him better, do you love God? Preacher, I know I can do better. I know I can, but I do love him. Good. All things work together then for you. All things work together. That blanket we showed this morning, that little thing I did for the youngins, remember? All those different pieces. All those different pieces. Individually, they're not much, but you fit them together one with another and they make something, don't they? Well, God takes the different things in your life and pieces them all together for something good. For his honor, for his glory, for his purposes, and something good. If you love God. By the way, let me tell you this. If you love God, when's the last time you told him that? When's the last time you told the Lord you love him? Preacher, I don't feel worthy to tell him that. I understand. I know the feeling. But tell him that. Don't you think the Lord likes to hear it and wants to hear it? You do. Don't tell me. Listen, if you're so cold-hearted that you don't want to hear the words, I love you, I don't believe you. You're lying. And something's wrong with you. Of course you want to hear that. Who don't want to hear the words of somebody saying, I love you? Why, my goodness gracious, to have your youngin' say that to you? Have your wife say it to you? Have your parents, have somebody tell you that they love you? Brother, sister in Christ? You like to hear it. The Lord wants to hear it. He loved us. He manifested his love to us. He tells us in his word he loves us. Every now and then you need to pull aside somewhere and say, Lord, I ain't worthy to say it. And I know it may sound funny coming from one like me, but Lord, I want you to know I love you. I want you to know I love you. And I want to love you more. Seriously. So look, all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? Then all things are working together for good. I didn't say that all things are good, so they work together for good. You piece this with that, and it all works together for something good that you can't see at the present. But just like we said this morning, those threads that ties it all together, that's, you know, like the Holy Ghost just working in every little thing, every situation, bring it all together for something that's good and glorious and right, that'll honor God, that's good for you in the long run with it. You know, sometimes we may temporarily lose someone we love, temporarily. Because of rebellion, Onesimus ran away. But he ran to Paul. And he got converted, and Philemon's going to get him back. You know, the difference here is again who he ran to. There's a rebellious thing going on here. He's lost. He runs away, but he runs to Paul. It's interesting. It shows where somebody's at, who they run to. You know what I'm saying? If somebody runs away from home and runs to someone righteous, let's speak something. If someone runs away from home and runs to others who are rebellious or worldly, that says something too. That speaks volumes here. And so I don't know what was going on with Philemon, but notice that when Onesimus ran, he ran to Paul. And he got converted. You know, it'd be a hard thing to lose somebody from your home, lose a child from your home. But if God's in it and allowing it, you can trust him. Can you imagine Moses' parents? Moses is about 3 months old, and they know we're not able to keep him hid. So they make an ark of bulrushes and put him in it and trust him to the Lord. And God took care. And not only did they get him back, she's going to get paid to nurse him, and they're going to have him for a couple of years, and they're going to be able to put some things there, and they're going to be on and have that time. Listen, when you'll do right by God and trust him, you're not going to lose. You're never going to lose out. But notice this, though. Again, notice that, again, he ran to Paul. You know what that shows us? You know what that shows us? Paul must have been good to him and made an impression on Onesimus when Paul visited Colossae and was around Philemon. He must have made an impression on him. Had to have. so that when he ran away, he ran to Paul. Brethren, you and I, may God help us to have a testimony that somebody could see something in us, see someone in us that would draw them to us, or rather really to the one that abides within us. Paul must have made an impression on that young man. All right, look here. It says, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So, while Onesimus was with Paul, and especially after he got converted, Onesimus had benefited Paul both physically and spiritually. Physically, he benefited Paul because Paul was in bonds. He was a prisoner. Onesimus could do things for him. Onesimus could run errands for him. Onesimus could minister to him. Onesimus could help Paul out physically. And since he was now a new brother in Christ, he could help Paul out physically by being a blessing to him, being by an encouragement to him. There's both ways that he could bless him. And now he would be able to do the same things to an even greater degree for Philemon, his master, the one that had legal right to him. Let me ask you something. Do you benefit others in both physical and spiritual ways? Be honest about it. If you name the name of Christ, do you benefit others in physical ways and in spiritual ways? You should benefit people in both ways. Look, a man ought to benefit his family in physical ways. A woman ought to benefit her family in physical ways. Children ought to benefit the family in physical ways. If you're a believer, you ought to benefit the people you work for. You should strive to be the most outstanding worker there in the call for the name of Jesus Christ. You really should. You name the name of Christ, you should stand out in that. And you should be the one that's dependable. You should be the one that's counted on. You should be the one that's going to do things right. You should stand out. You should benefit the place that you work physically. But listen, you should also benefit those places spiritually. The child of God should bless others in ways both physical and spiritual. And each should complement the other and be returned for the other. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 11. Paul says, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? And just say that, look, if someone benefits you spiritually, then you should try to benefit them in physical matters, in carnal matters, being a help to them in physical ways in a way. And the other way around too. Listen, you and I should be a blessing or strive to be a blessing to one another in any way that we can. And listen, I touched on this Wednesday night, and I'm going to mention it again here. The Bible says, if any man desire the office of bishop, he desireth the good work. That's fine. You desire it all you want. You pray about it. That's fine. But if God doesn't grant it to you, accept his will. One of the things that plagues the churches today are men who are plagued with frustrated ambition. They want to do and be something that it is not in the will of God to do or be or gift them with, and they can't stand it. And instead of resigning themselves to being joyful in what God has gifted them or enabled them to do, and to do it to the best of their ability for the glory of God, they get resentful. And you know what lies back of that thing? Pride. Self and pride. I want to be seen. I want to be noticed. And I'm serious, brethren. I've seen it. I've seen it through the years. And I told you about a situation right now where a brother, he's off of the wild blue yonder, man. This other brother was talking to me, saying, look, pray for, you know, he's going off in the deep end. He's called in some. Again, I won't belabor the point tonight. The internet's a tool. The computer's a tool. But you better keep it as a tool, and you better watch, and you better be careful. You can make it without the thing. You understand that? I've got one. Use it for. I understand that. But what did God set up? He set up the local church that King James Bible, preaching and teaching, you can make it with that. Church is the pillar and ground of the truth, and don't you forget it. I said it before, I'll say it one more time. You do not want a man standing behind this pulpit that constantly says to you, well, brother so-and-so said, or doctor so-and-so said, or I got off the internet. You want, and you have a right to expect, somebody that will get with God and give you something from that book, tailored to our individual needs as a local body. Okay, you got a right to expect that. By the same token, do not come up to me and tell me, well, Brother Doss, I read on the internet, or I heard, I don't want to hear it. If you got it from your own Bible reading, we'll talk. But if you're going to come to me with that stuff, I don't want to hear it. And I won't hear it. Because listen, I'm not doing that to you. And don't you turn it around and give the same, don't you do it to me. Do you understand, brother? Brother, what would, you would not want me to say, well, brother, I don't know, but Dr. So-and-so said, or Brother So-and-so said. You'd be like, well, Pastor, what do you think? Don't you read your Bible, Pastor, don't you? Well, listen, by the same token, if you've got something and you come to me and say, Brother Dawson, I don't see it that way, and you get it from your own Bible reading and study, that's fine. I enjoy that. Praise God. That's a pastor's joy. You're in that book, you're learning, you're reading, you're studying. Amen. But if you're doing your researching on that internet instead of you getting in the Word of God, don't come to me what somebody else said. I'm not doing you that way. You don't do me that way. And I'm serious, brethren. Because we've got ourselves in a fix and a mess today. We really have. Brethren, because it's, listen, isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting? Think about this. How come there's not the same pull to that book as there is to get on the internet? Think about it. Think about it. There's always a pull to something that just misses the mark. You know what I'm saying? I mean, isn't it interesting? You got to fight and bring your flesh in subjection to read that book. You got to fight and bring your flesh in subjection to study that book. Let me tell you something. You ain't never had to fight or the flesh to keep it from spending time on the internet. It wants to. Do you understand what I'm saying? That flesh wants to. Your flesh has never said, come on now, it's time to look at the internet. Your flesh has never said, come on, knock it off. It's time to sit down and look at some websites and see what Dr. So-and-so said. Or it's time to do that. But anytime it's time to pick up that book or come to the local church or come to sit, the battle's on then. That's what God set up. That's where the power's at with it. You understand, folks? Man, have you ever get that thing down? Man, get that thing. Because, and a lot of it stems from, sometimes an individual, you know what he wants? An individual says, you know what? Let's don't make no bones about it. Sometimes individuals are like this. I want people to look at me. I want people to notice me. I want people to follow me. I want people to admire me for my Bible knowledge or my this or that. And so, I'm telling you. So they're determined, I'm going to learn things. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get to where. And the thing of it is, God will not gift them in that manner. And they can't stand it. So what they do is, they start going off with wild doctrines, with all kind of things that are just not that. And they get a fault. Paul warned about people like that. He warned about people that would come in and in the churches and do such things. And it goes on today. And listen. And I'm going to tell you something. May the Lord help us. But I told you folks, I've watched this for 25 some years. And I've watched men who put an emphasis on knowledge rather than God developing their character, and they got themselves into a fix. God is interested in molding and making the man. And the Bible says, add to your faith virtue and then knowledge. Virtue and then knowledge. When you put Bible knowledge in the lap of someone who has not let God develop their character yet, it's like putting a sword in the hands of a four-year-old. Somebody's going to get hurt. And it happens. Listen. Y'all remember this, and don't you forget it. I've told you before, and we'll tell you again. What does your Bible say? The Bible says in Ephesians 4, and he gave some apostles and prophets, which we don't have today. We don't have those today. Those were foundational positions in the church in Ephesians 2. We don't have, but we do have evangelists, pastors, teachers. Okay. He gave,
He gave, and he still has to give.
Listen, if someone goes to a college, institute, whatever, and learns Bible, praise God. But that does not equate automatically out to a calling. That does not mean God has enabled you to pastor, to teach. Those are gifts of God. That's Bible. That's Ephesians 4.
Well, you know, Brother Niels, on the mission field, when I preached at his Bible Institute graduation, you know what I told those fellas? I said, guys, know what this is and know what it ain't. You know what this proves? I said, number one, this does not prove you know the Bible. It proves that you do know how to sit still and study the Bible, so continue doing it to the day you die. It proves that you've learned how to use the Bible as a reference book like you're supposed to. I said, but let me tell you what it isn't. This is not a call of God to do anything. And if you interpret it as such, you're going to get yourself and your family in a mess. Y'all don't forget that. We've got a situation today, it seems young men think, I can go and go through a course of study and I don't know, I may evangelize a little bit, I may go to the mission field. You may, huh? Really? Is that what you may do? And you may just get yourself in a fix. Well, I mean, what's wrong with it? You better be careful. You better be careful. You better make sure God's in that thing. And God, listen, God gave. He gave some evangelists, some pastors, some. God gives those things. Learn the Bible. You don't ever stop learning it to the day you die. But as far as different gifts, different positions, make sure God is in that thing. Yes, if a man desire the office of bishop, he desireth the good work. He may desire it, but God had better grant it. You can get yourself in all sorts of fixes. Listen. Get out of your mind that just because a person is in a certain position, that automatically equates out to heavenly reward. Brethren, I know and am persuaded what the Lord has called me to do. But whether I reap a reward from it depends upon if I faithfully execute that before the Lord. Reward it's not automatic because of the position. Reward is automatic because of any believer fulfilling their course faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. There's plenty of person out there. Nobody notices, nobody thinks about, but they know what they're supposed to do. They're faithfully doing it, and they're going to reap one day before the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. What happens is, brethren, look here. You a position of pastor or missionary times, you know, those get noticed. That's a glory position, so to speak, because people see you. And there can be danger with that. That's fine if God has directed and called into it. But boy, you better be careful about putting yourself into something just because you want notoriety. You know something? I knew of a missionary family in Sri Lanka. And their boy, thanks be to God, he ended up getting saved. But you know what kept him from getting saved? He had made a profession earlier in his life. And he had also said, I'm called to preach. What it was is that family lived a good, holy life, separated life. And that boy, what he was exposed to, the ones he looked up to was not sports stars, he looked up to preachers. Okay, that's not too bad per se, but the problem is he looked at that, I want that. Especially if you go around a lot of camp meetings and this and another, I want that. I want that glory. I want that this. And so that boy said, I'm called to preach. And then what happened was he realized, I ain't saved. The young man realized, I am not born again. By his own testimony, guess what he said? The thing that held him back was he said, if I say that I'm not saved, I can't preach, and I want to preach. A young man headed for hell, and what's holding him back is, I want to preach. Why? It ain't toward the Lord. It's that, I like the amens, I like the this, I like the that. But thanks be to God, he broke through with it. And admitted he was lost and got saved. But that's what can happen. And I'm just telling you, look, never stop learning that book. But what we've had happen today, brethren, is there are folks that instead of letting God make them, the emphasis is on knowledge. The Bible says knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. You never stop learning that book, but make sure God is in that thing. And brethren, look here. Just because something externally looks like it's okay doesn't mean it is. I told Brother Niels over there in New Guinea, I said, Brother, look at all these missionaries that are in New Guinea. Some of them are Seventh-day Adventist. Some of them are Pentecostal. Some of them are Methodist. Some of them are Southern Baptist. Some of them are Independent Baptist. A lot of missionaries where I said, every one of them is going to tell you God got them here. And God didn't get every one of them there. Now, the Independent Baptists go, well, of course, but God got us all here. Well, you don't know about that neither. Listen, let the Lord direct you. Let Him guide you. Let Him. Look, you got a desire, put that thing before Him, but make sure it is Him. And don't equate the fact of studying or receiving man's approval of study, man's approval of study with a degree. Don't equate that at to the equivalency of a call from God or a gift from God. Do you understand? Don't mistake that. Or you can get yourself in a big fix. And again, I'll tell you again, that you may desire something. God may grant the desire. But you know the difference between a desire and a call? A call involves obedience or disobedience. There's an element of rebellion in a call. In other words, if you don't do it, you'll be rebellious. A desire is simply something that God may grant or God may not grant. Paul and Barnabas, Acts 13, God called them to go on that mission trip. He called them. They had to obey. The Bible says in Hebrews, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. But later on in Acts, you'll find Paul looking at Barnabas and saying, Barnabas, let's go check on the brethren, see how they're doing. God didn't call him to do it, but he allowed it. That's a desire that's granted. There's no disobedience involved. They just wanted to do it, and God granted it. Later on, Paul desired to go into Asia. The Lord said, no, not right now. So here's two instances of desires, one granted, one not granted. But a call, you better obey it, because if you don't, you're in rebellion against God. And and your spiritual growth, your spiritual advancement will stop at that point. It's not a matter of just, Lord, you're calling me to this. Shh. I'll be, Lord. Shh. That's an honor, but I don't think so. No, it's not like that. If He called you, your spiritual life and your growth means you better answer that, or you're going to hit a dead stop right there with that thing. Okay? But there may be a desire. There's a difference between someone called to a mission field versus somebody says, you know, I got 6 months on my hand. I think I'll go help a missionary out. And God may let you do it. That's great. That's a good deal. But it's not the same as a call. A call involves obedience and disobedience and rebellion if you don't do it. And understand that. And you can get yourself from getting awful in a big, awful fix. All right? But I'm just telling you again. Brethren, we be careful that you don't equate learning Bible with the same as God gifting and calling to something. He may, but it's not the same thing. Be careful about it. Because 25 years ago, I told my wife, I said, honey, look at this. And I started seeing it. I started seeing men newly saved, had a lot of zeal. Glory to God. Don't ever, man, I like to fan them flames of zeal. That's good. But they didn't sit still enough to let God develop their character. They didn't sit still enough to get some virtue and let God make the man. They got a lot of knowledge and they hurt themselves with it. And man, you just watched them. They watched them. I've seen them come out, had knowledge, and they all... The only ones that seemed to come out the other side pretty good were those that realized, wait a minute, God needs to do a work on me. I got some knowledge, but I need some work. God needs to do a work in my life. The ones that allowed God to do that, went on and God do something with that. But be careful. Look here. I'm just telling you. Can you, again, 1 Corinthians 9 verse 11. Look, if we have sown in you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things? Benefit somebody. If somebody's helped you spiritually, try to be a benefit to them in carnal things. And vice versa. I guess the thing that was that made me think of this is, listen, don't low rate yourself. If you are a blessing to folks in material, carnal ways, and you have abilities in those ways, don't low rate that and look at that as, well, that's nothing really important. What are you talking about? Thanks be to God for that. Don't low rate that. The believer should have the Spirit of God. If he's born again, he's got to have the Spirit of God. There should be a spiritual nature to you. But don't ever low rate the ability to take and use what you have and just your very back and hands to do for the things of God. And I said it before and I'll say it again. Y'all listen to me tonight. There's been a lot of mess and trouble going on because of women who want their husband to be something they want him to be. Seriously. Instead of being happy that my husband is a hard worker, my husband is this or that, but I want him to do this, and I want him to do that, and I want him to, you know what? Because that can make the woman look good too. My husband's a this, my husband's that. Well, what's wrong with your husband being who he is for the glory of God? What's wrong with that? That's a precious thing. What happens is there can be this thing where, wow, not really. Why won't God call us to the mission field? Whoa, time out. Okay, if he does, that's fine and that's great. But look what you're saying when you do that. So someone that's not been called to the mission field, they're low rate? Huh? Someone that's just sitting in a pew, being faithful, being in there, doing what they're supposed to do, being a blessing, they're less of a Christian? They're going to miss out on rewards? What are you talking about? What that kind of thing produces is where you get mama called, wife called, anybody called but God called, missionaries, preachers, and all other things. Pushing them to do this. Why? So a little of that glory will shine on me. So that little bit of glory will come on my way. My husband's of this or my husband's of that. You know what? Because you want a little of that glory to shine on your way. Don't tell me it don't happen. It happens. It happens. You better believe it happens. And it causes all kinds. Look, I'll say it once again. You don't marry a man as a project. You don't marry a man as a project. And fellas, I'll tell you one more time. If you see a girl marrying you and you get the idea that she's looking at you as to what you may become with her help, you better run. You better pick them up and put them down and you better get. I don't care how pretty she is. I don't care how pretty she is. That shine will go and ugly or crawl on her real quick when you see her attitude. Now, I'm serious as I can be. You get that kind of thing? You get that kind of thing to where she's going to try to make you after her image of what spirituality should be? You're going to get in a fix. And you watch that thing. Ladies, look here. be very careful. Be very careful. I'm just telling you, brethren. I've seen it happen. Some of you, I'm sure, have seen it happen and know yourself. That what happens is, listen, I know of a situation where a lady, she was determined her husband was going to be this thing. She was going to push him. She was going to, and I think she's made the man's life a miserable wreck and a mess because God wasn't the one directing it. What is it? I want him to be this. Ladies, how would you feel if your husband come in and said, man, sister so-and-so, she really cooks. And boy, the house she really cleans. Man, the tears would come and the claws toward the eyes would come out and it would be, man, look out. Well, you can put that man through that. You can put that man through that kind of thing. And have him take some upon himself that God is not directing in or God's not. Listen, whoa. Listen, we've got to be careful that if we take and unconsciously or consciously or unconsciously exalt certain things higher than anything else, we can set people up for some trouble. Reward at the judgment seat of Christ is not what you did as far as what position, but that whatever you did it because God was in it. You did it the best of your ability with the Spirit of God and the Word of God guiding and directing you. And don't ever forget that thing. It'll save you a heap of trouble here and over there. Man alive, brethren. We can set ourselves up for a big mess about things. Let me ask you something. When Joseph was king, or second of the king over Egypt, running the economy of Egypt. Well, that's pretty impressive, ain't it? Wow. That's pretty good. Well, He was just as much in the will of God when he was in Potiphar's house. And nobody knew about him. When he was resisting that woman's advances and managing Potiphar's house, who knew about Joseph? Was he in the will of God? Was Joseph in the will of God in Potiphar's house? You know he was. Was Joseph in the will of God sitting in that prison and managing that prison? You know he was. Was Joseph in the will of God running the economy of Egypt? You know he was. Since God was in each one of those things, which one was greater? Well, in the eyes of men, I know which one was greater. But in the eyes of God, which one was greater? Not a one of them. Because God was in them all. And you want something great? Let God be in it. Doesn't matter how big it may seem to man. There's none greater than God. If God's in it, it makes the thing a great thing. And don't ever forget it. I saw a sister, this lady and her husband was called to the mission field, you know, said they were, and she was giving her testimony. And bless her heart, she didn't really know what she was saying, but it wasn't really her fault. It's the way things come out today. And she said, I just never would imagine that God would have called me and my husband, us. Who would have thought us, that he would have called us the mission field? I know she meant well. But do you know how that could make people sitting in the church just being faithful and doing what they're supposed to do feel? Well, God, you know all the you know what you're doing, Lord. I guess it's okay to be a second-class believer. And I'd like to go, Lord, but I don't believe you. Come on, brethren. Just because, and nobody needs to feel condescending like, oh, maybe God will do the same for you one day. How about just finding where you're supposed to be and doing what you're supposed to do for the glory of God with joy in your heart? You can't lose like that. You can't. And if God, I told you before, you take the Gates. We love them to death. We thank the Lord for them. They're over in New Guinea here. You know, we love them. We thank the Lord for them. But can I say something to you? If he wasn't over there, he'd be in trouble. Because he's supposed to be there. That's where God called him to be. And you need to be where you're supposed to be. And doing what you're doing for the honor and glory of God. Never stop learning that book. Never stop walking with God for whatever God's got for you. But listen, don't try to take and feel like if I'm not doing this or I'm not doing that, I'm really not doing anything for God. You didn't get that from that book. Didn't get you that way. Man gets you that way, not that book. All right, look here. Take your Bible. Go to Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate. And the word communicate in the dictionary means like to minister on needs and such as that and physical things. Communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Listen, if somebody blesses you spiritually, try to be a blessing to them in a physical way. And it just works both ways. Okay, that's the kind of thing Paul's speaking of. Again, can you be a blessing to someone in a physical manner and in a spiritual manner? Let me ask you this. Can you be a blessing to one as well as to another? Can you be a blessing to Paul as well as to a Philemon? Are you listening to me? Onesimus was a blessing to Paul. He helped him. He ministered to him. But the litmus test on whether or not he's real or not is, can he be a blessing to Philemon? Let's don't kid ourselves. It don't take much to be a blessing to some people. Some people are decent. Some people are nice. Some people are kind of enjoyable to be around. Why, who can't be decent and a blessing to somebody like that? Yeah. But can you be a blessing to somebody who's not like that? That's where the tail of the tape comes in. And that's a hard one. Listen, not just to a Paul, but to a Philemon. See, even the lost can do that. Take your Bible, go to Luke 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Verse 32. Luke 6, verse 32. For if ye love, Luke 6, 32. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also doing the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good. And lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward should be great. And you should be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Go to Matthew 5. Well, of course, if you've got a boss and he's decent and he's reasonable and he listens, yeah, you can do right by him. But what about the guy who, for no other way to put it, is just about a jerk? Huh? And the guy just takes, all right, and he's not reasonable. You can't talk to him. He's contentious. That's a different story. But that's where Christianity shows itself. Because anybody can be decent to the guy that's decent. Anybody can do right by the guy that's the boss that's him. But boy, that one that is just like, And you know something? God may put you in a situation at times to where you have to deal with somebody to where you just about have to get some grace every time you go into work or every time you go in, and you'll have to get some grace. Because there's liable to be one person on the job, a boss, and it's like, man, it's so easy. So easy. But notice, even those that don't profess salvation can be decent to that person. But that other one. Can you, for Jesus' sake, do them right? Can you, for Jesus' sake? Look here, Matthew 5, verse 46. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Listen, would you treat a boss better than a parent? Think about it. Yes, sir, Mr. So-and-so. Yes, sir. And then come home. What? I don't know. I've already done that. Something's wrong. Would you treat a female coworker better than a wife? Think about it. She gets a smile. She gets a nice voice. Yet at home, what? I don't know. Something's not right there. a Republican boss better than a Democrat boss. And listen, you might think that that's not one to think about, but yeah, there's some out there. I'm telling you, you better believe. Yeah. What I'm telling you, in whatever way it may be, you treat them right. You do them right. I know it's easier to maybe do the one right. I know that. But as a Christian, as a believer, will you do them both the same and right equally? Will you? Take your Bible. Go to 1 Peter 2. See, it was easy to do for Paul. Will he do for Philemon? It was easy for Onesimus to do for Paul, but will he do for Philemon? 1 Peter 2, verse 17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. To the best of my knowledge, that king possibly was Nero. Even if it wasn't Nero, none of them was real good. Honor the king. Wow. Brethren, it bothers me the way some of the saints today, and some well-known saints, are the attitudes they portray towards certain people that are in positions of authority just because they don't go along with their political views. Brethren, listen, you better be careful. Your Bible calls you to a higher standard than that. Now, I'll say it one more time. You know, when Barack Obama was president, and let me tell you something, that was hard for me to swallow and say that. That hurt, man. That hurt to call him president. I just personally, I think the man hated the country just about it. But you know what? That was my president. I didn't enjoy saying that. but it was true. And we prayed for that man here on Wednesday night. Wednesday nights, what do? We pray for our government leaders, state and local. And we prayed for that man like 1 Timothy tells us to do. We pray for President Trump now. But listen, bad as certain administrations have been, listen to me real good. Brethren, stay in that book and you'll keep yourself balanced. Does anybody have proof that Barack Obama, when he was president, sacrificed any of his children to Molech or Baal? Does anybody have any proof of it? Just wondering. Does anybody have proof that Barack Obama spent time with familiar spirits and used enchantments? I mean, do you have proof of it? All right? Because in the Bible, there was a king, pretty bad fella, who sacrificed his children to devils. And he used enchantments and dealt with wizards and familiar spirits. And that was a fact. And God dealt with him. And God reached out to him through his prophets. And the man repented and humbled himself and turned to the Lord. The man's name is Manasseh. Brethren, what I'm telling you is this. It could always be a lot worse. That book said rulers are not a terror to good works but to evil. I was born in 1964. Like I told you before, I don't remember Lyndon Johnson's presidency. I do remember Nixon. And so I've been through Nixon and Ford and Reagan and Carter and Clinton and Bush, both of the Bushes. And you know what? In all that time, all this time through, not one of those leaders yet has yet stopped me from being able to do any good work the Bible says that I am supposed to do in the name of Jesus Christ. I need to take it home and chew on it a little bit. I didn't say that it grieved me at times. I didn't say that I agreed with everything. But I'm telling you this, sometimes if you step back and look, you're like, well, wait a minute. You know, any good deed, as far as things I could do in the name of Jesus Christ, I personally have not been stopped from doing that from any administration. And I'm supposed to pray for them, and it could be a lot worse. You know what gets folks to thinking otherwise? Rhetoric too often from preachers rather than Bible reading. That's a fact. You listen to them preaching, my preacher, anybody's preaching, you better prove it by the book. You better prove it by the book. And there's some saints that are letting their prejudices and the things that they are personally hot against, they're trying to justify by certain what certain men say. But when you get in that book, that's not what you see. Honor all men. Honor the king. Pray for those leaders. Brethren, Manasseh turned to God. Any of these men could turn to God if they're willing to. Truth gotten to them. You say, oh, yeah, right. Don't you think somebody must have looked at Manasseh? The man sacrificed his children to devils. You understand? It's pretty bad. God dealt with him. And he humbled down and he turned to God. Come on, brethren. Come on. Stay in that book. It'll keep you centered. It'll keep you balanced. It'll keep you straight. It'll keep you to where you won't have to be so ashamed before the Lord someday. But if you buy into a lot of rhetoric out there, a lot of good men putting out some things though that have more political slant than a biblical slant, you'll lose for it one day. Look here, 1 Peter 2 verse 18: Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Look, not only to the good and gentle. Come on, who can't be a good servant to somebody that's good and gentle, huh? Anybody can do that, even the lost. But look what it says. But also to the froward. That boss that's contentious, that boss has got an attitude. Man, when I was in the military, you know what? I had two supervisors. And they knew that I was a Christian. They knew that I was a believer. They knew that I loved the Lord. And they loved to try to push my buttons. And brethren, I'm not going to tell you that I always handled it right. There was one time, one of them was just ragging me on, man. And I picked up one of the rags in the shop and I flung that thing at that fella. I mean, it was just, and you know what? He said, hey, what'd you do? I called him up that evening and said, I'm sorry. I said, that's not right. That's not how a Christian's supposed to be, and I apologize. I wish I could tell you it was just one time. I had another of my supervisors. Hey, there was out on the flight line, there was a certain way of our uniform that could be done that would have made it a lot cooler. You know what I'm saying? It was hot, man. But with the base he come from, he was not going to do it. We were going to do a certain way. And it was just a small thing that could have really improved morale in the shop. And I went to him, and he said no. And I said, well, that's stupid. What'd you do? I called him up at night. I said, I'm sorry. That was wrong. Now, I did think it was stupid. but still, that was wrong how I handled that. And I apologized. And he said, hey, no problem, no problem, no problem. And you know, I run into him every now and then. And it's a blessing, the conversation I'm able to have with him when I run into him. And I'll tell you this. That was like 20-something years ago. I'll tell you this. I believe I can say that he knows this. He knows I'm real about things. And I've got his respect. Did you know that one supervisor I threw the rag at? When I was pastoring, it was on Royal Road. As I was on Royal Road, he would come on his own and mow the yard for the church and just do it. He'd ask me to come by his house and eat. He knew I was going to witness to him and talk to him. Now listen, because you know, here's why. I think he knew, but by the grace of God, I wasn't a hypocrite about things. God help me. But listen, brethren, you're going to mess up. You want this? You want people on your job and people out there are looking for, not that you don't mess up, but that you're real and you'll make it right when you do. That has an effect. That has an effect. You're going to mess up sometimes. You are going to mess up sometimes. Make it right. Make it right. Don't, none of this stuff like on that bumper sticker. Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. I'll save it. This world has a right to expect certain things of me because I named the highest name to be named. And when I let that name down, shame on me, and I need to make it right. And the world can deal with that because they see that you're real. You're real. Make it right. Look at this. Again, verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. You ever seen somebody do this? They've gone and got themselves in a fix because their mouth got them in trouble or because of their rebellion. And they're suffering for it. And then they'll say, y'all pray for me. I'm really going through it now, but you know, just suffering for the Lord. No, you're not. You're suffering because you got yourself in a fix and you can't control yourself. You're not suffering for Jesus. You're suffering for me. It's like I told you before, Brother Wayne Fair, right? Had a guy down there at a restaurant in Beaufort, right? And he was trying to give this guy a track. And the guy didn't want the track. You know what you do when somebody doesn't want a track? You put the track in your pocket and say, thank you, sir. Have a nice day. But you know what he did? He grabbed the guy. You know what the guy did? And lays him out. And so the brother was going around suffering for Jesus. He says, no, you're suffering because you're stupid. And he told him, he says, you're not suffering for Jesus. You grabbed that man. That man wasn't rejecting the Lord. He hit you because he didn't know what you was doing to him. You grabbed him. Brethren, we always like to put the good spin on things. We like to put the good spin on things. And a lot of times we like to feel like, well, yeah, everybody at work, they hate me. Because I'm a Christian. Well, okay. If that's so, then the Bible says rejoice. But could it be they hate you because most people probably couldn't stand you? I mean, I hope that ain't true, but could it be? Really? A lot of times, a lot of people think, well, people don't like me because of the Lord. What? Is it? Brethren, sometimes it's because you won't let the Lord work through you and it'd be hard for anybody to like you. Now, I'm just being honest. So is it not like that sometimes? You know it's like that. But don't let it be like that with you. Look what the Bible says. Verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. If you're going through a situation, and it seems like everybody's against you, and you're getting the raw deal, don't you know that God sees and knows? If you step in and try to handle it yourself, the Lord's stepping out. You know what the Lord's going to do? Because I've seen it happen. He's going to say, oh, you've got this one? Oh, you've got this one. Okay, you handle it. And he's stepping out. But if you'll take and do right and commit yourself unto the Lord, to him that judgeth righteously, he'll stand up and plead your cause. It may not be on your timetable, but he'll handle it. Look here, real quick, just a couple more things. I want you to notice that Paul was blessed and benefited by Onesimus. Can I ask you this? Do we allow ourselves to bless, do we allow others, rather, to bless and benefit us? Can we be blessed by others, by those younger in physical or spiritual years, or will our pride prevent it from being so? Can somebody help you who's younger than you? Can somebody younger than you help you physically and help you spiritually? Or does pride kick in and say, I got it? If somebody younger than you spiritually shows you something you haven't seen before, is it on? Oh, yeah, I got it. Yeah, I know. No, you didn't. But your pride won't let you go, wow, that's a blessing. Man, thank you for showing me that. That's good. I never saw it before. God help us, brethren. What I'm saying is, Paul had the maturity to allow himself to be blessed by Onesimus. And you and I need to have the same kind of maturity. Listen, and also say this to you. Never think that you can't be a blessing to someone. Often we assume that others, listen to me, often we assume that others get ample help, ample thanks and appreciation. You'd be surprised. Here's Paul. Onesimus was a blessing to him. A blessing to Paul. You know something? You would think, well, I'm sure there was plenty of people helping Paul out. Yeah, you'd be surprised. I remember there was someone, there was an individual one time that this church tried to do something for, and we did. And I took for granted that this person probably had things like that done for him all the time. And you, brethren, you men wanted to do this, and we did it. And I asked this individual, I said, have you ever got to this? He goes, nope. I said, nope. Never had an opportunity, never been done. And anyways, the way the conversation went, I found out that a lot of what you would think happens don't happen. You should do whatever you do for the glory of God. Okay. And when you don't get thanks and you don't get appreciation and you don't get notice, just look to the Lord and don't let it bother you. But we should not let that be an excuse to us to keep from giving thanks and appreciation to others. There was Brother Matt knows a group of singers that were a blessing. They were a real blessing. They were a very real blessing. And they went around and tried to be a blessing to churches. But they got took for granted a lot of times. A lot of people, I guess, assumed maybe they were rolling the money and didn't need to help take care of them. And finally, they just said, enough of it. In fact, one of the older members of it gone and just let his doctrine be changed all around. Why? He got burned. Is that an excuse? No, it's not an excuse. But God forbid that we so live that we provide people such an excuse. Brethren, don't ever think that, you know what? I bet this person gets people thanking them all the time. You'd be surprised. Oh, I'm sure this person gets, you'd be surprised. Onesimus was a blessing to Paul. Onesimus might have thought, well, how could I be a blessing to Paul? Well, he was. And don't ever underestimate the blessing, the encouragement, and the help that you can be to somebody. You may assume they're getting plenty of it. You'd be surprised. And if you walk with the Lord and He puts somebody on your heart to write, email, text, send something to, do something for, listen to the Spirit of God nudging you about it, and do it. There's a reason for it. Let's pray. Father, Lord, help us, dear God, to take these passages from the book of Philemon. Help us to chew on it. Help us to understand it and know how we need to apply it. Father, help us, dear God, to be willing to be a blessing to not just the good and the gentle, but the froward. To all around us. Father, help us, I pray, dear God, to realize that we can be a blessing if we'll allow you to work in our lives. Help us not, Lord, to just assume things. Father, if we've handled something wrong, help us to correct it and make it right. Lord, I don't believe the world's expecting us to never mess up, but I believe they are, Lord, expecting to see that we're real, that we'll make it right when we do mess up. Lord, help us in these endeavors. Direct us, help us, instruct us, and guide us. And I pray you'll dismiss us with your blessings, and we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.